I made it, didn't I? Well, yeah. All right. Well, as I've mentioned, today is the second Sunday in July, and as we mentioned last Sunday, on the 4th of July, that all this month, in recognition of that celebration, that our focus on Sunday mornings is on the independence and freedom that's natural to us as spiritual beings, even while we are living in these physical bodies, in a physical environment, and we have relationships with physical friends, and we have needs that make it seem on the surface that being physical, in a world that's physical, that world has the power to make us dependent on it. We begin to depend on something that appears to be outside of us to take care of us. But Abraham Hicks tells us the truth is the universe will always take care of you. Everything you need will come to you at the perfect time. But when we depend on the outer world, it's because we don't feel our oneness with the love of the universe. I mean, we don't trust that it even knows we're here, much less that it's loving us and is providing all that we need, even when it appears as if the world is providing it. It's still the one source providing it through the world. But when we don't realize that, we hoard and we hold on to things and we worry where our good is going to come from or if it's going to come at all. And we're unaware of our freedom to focus our mind on what we want and to open our heart to the universal love that will provide it, and through our focus and openness to receiving, we call to us all that we need for a life that is filled with joy and peace and love and abundant good. That's why Jesus said long ago for us to be in the world but not of the world, to be here but to trust in the source of our life that brings all that we need into physical form. Our independence of the world is essential if we want to experience the full spiritual package that we have been given to fully express ourselves in this world. Independence and freedom are always present right where we are because it is our power to choose in any moment how we want to see the world, who we want to be in this moment in the world, and how we want to respond to the world we see. Our power to choose is so free that it isn't dependent on any of our previous choices. So that every day and every moment of the day, we are free to make a new choice if we want to. Now, as we've talked about before, the universe is ever expanding, and we are expanding with it because we are part of the universe. But so often, what we think we know, the concepts that we hold about ourselves and others and life, keeps our mind from expanding into that space and into that field where there's more to know and more to be, more to express. Einstein said logic will get you from A to B. But imagination will take you everywhere. Imagination is the language of the soul. Pay attention to your imagination, and you will discover all you need to be fulfilled. All we need. Imagine that. Which brings us along our spiritual journey through the alphabet this year to our focus once again on the letter N. And today, N is for need. And as I mentioned before, the title of my talk today is On a Need-to-Know Basis. Now, the only thing we truly know is that we exist. It's the one thing no one had to tell us before we knew it. It's all we need to know, without a doubt. Because any self-concept that follows the words, I am, any self-concept is changeable. There's no point in collecting a bunch of self-concepts or facts or opinions and keeping them in our mind about ourselves or others or life. Because, I mean, even a positive self-concept is destined to expand. It's going to change. It's going to grow. The Zen master Shunryu Suzuki, who is the author of Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, wrote, each of you is perfect the way you are, and you could use a little improvement. I mean, science tells us that everything in this world, every concept is questionable. It's indefinite and changeable. So when it comes to the story that we're telling about ourselves in this life, facts are no different than fiction. If what we're telling doesn't feel good to tell, and if it limits our freedom to tell a new story about ourselves and others and life. I mean, life is good and it will feel good to us if we let it. Abraham Hicks tells us, start telling a better feeling story about the things that are important to you. Do not write your story like a factual documentary, weighing all the pros and cons of your experience. But instead, tell the uplifting, fanciful, magical story of the wonder of your own life and watch what happens. It will feel like magic as your life begins to transform right before your eyes. We live in the universal imagination of the mind of God, where everything is possible to us because anything we can imagine, being and doing and experiencing and expressing is ours for the asking. But often, we don't look for greater possibilities for ourselves because we can't imagine there's anything beyond what we've seen before and what we already know. Of Course in Miracles tells us it is as needful that you recognize you made the world you see as that you recognize that you did not create yourself. Nothing created not by your Creator has any influence over you. There is so much we think we know about ourselves and the world. So much we've made up that need not continue to be so in our mind or in our life. We continue to see what we believe is true because we believe in it before it appears to us. You got to believe it before you see it. Since our life is expanding, always, that expansion goes in the direction we send it with our thinking. We experience more and more of what we believe is true, and when we clutter our mind with limiting concepts about ourselves and life, that more and more appears to be less and less as it expands. I'll explain. Here's an example. The more we think I am getting older or I am old, the more we think I'm getting sick or I am sick, the more we think about I'm not able, or I'm not capable, or I'm not even interested in life, the more we feel it to be true, and the more true it feels to us, the more it increases in our life. In the same way, I am not enough, or I don't have enough, appears as less and less in our life because we are expanding. Lack and limitation. That's why in the book of Matthew, we read, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. Or as we like to say, the rich get rich and the poor get poorer. A belief is just a thought that we continue to think over and over again until it takes a position in our mind as factual and unchangeable. We don't need to hold on to our beliefs because they stick around with us until we choose to change our thinking. A student of Zen who was filled with emotion and angst and was crying, and he begged the Zen master to tell him, why is there so much suffering? And the Zen master said, no reason. We can change any appearance of decrease in our life, declining health, shrinking abundance, by imagining something greater for ourselves. If we want to feel healthier and happier and more abundant, we need to open our mind to the possibilities that are beyond the facts that we see. If we keep pointing at what is, we'll never be able to see what can be. When we empty our mind of the clutter of limiting concepts, happier, healthier, more abundant thoughts have the space to flow to us and flow into our awareness. And the more we focus on those happy, healthy, and abundant thoughts and speak of ourselves in healthy, happy, abundant ways over and over again, the more we feel it's true. And the more it feels true to us, the more those things will increase in our life. What if there is absolutely no reason for us to hold on to negative memories and unpleasant memories? And that we are free to only entertain happy memories in our mind? What if we stopped comparing yesterday's happiness to what's going on for us today and just decided that this day is going to be the happiest day of our life so far? As we said last Sunday, we are free to change the story that we've been telling about ourselves anytime We choose to imagine something new to tell about ourselves. I mean, we all wanted to come into this world. We wanted to be seen in this world. That's why we have a physical body that says, hey, I'm here. We were just fine where we were before we came. So, a good question to ask ourselves, since we came here to tell a story about a spiritual being, about a spiritual universe, just to ask ourselves, what story do I want to appear in today? We're the writer and director. Do I want a sequel to yesterday's version of me, or do I want a brand new narrative of myself? We write our story as if it's a documentary, and that the facts in this human experience have power over who we can be now and what comes next for us in our life. But facts are of the world, and we are of God. And with God, all things are possible. Shunryu Suzuki wrote in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, if your mind is empty, it is always ready for anything. And it is open to everything. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. But in the expert's mind, there are few. Do we want to be an expert on this world? Oh, we know how that goes. We've seen it before. Do we want to collect a bunch of information? Or do we want to be open to everything so that our life experience isn't limited to what's already happened in the world, but what we can bring new into this world? A child's mind is a beginner's mind. It's free of the clutter of facts and concepts and opinions, and open to the realm of imagination and magic. A young child can look at an empty cardboard box, and where we might see trash or something to recycle, a child can see all of the possibilities that are there. It's a vehicle to ride in. It's a cave to hide in. It's a disguise to wear. Children expect the day to be filled with new things to learn about themselves and the world around them. Their mind isn't filled with, I already know that. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, unless you turn and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we're taught that the more we know, the more successful we will be in this world. And then we send our children with their beautiful, open minds to school to fill them with facts, to parrot back to teachers, and then to have their worth graded by how many facts they can hold in their mind. And because we've all learned that what you know makes you important and even powerful, we admire the human intellect. I mean, the more facts someone holds in their mind, the more awesome they seem to be. There's even a word for someone who is sexually attracted to intelligence or intelligent people. It's a sapiophile, which explains to me why I always had a crush on my math and science teachers. Well, what if all that worldly knowledge gets in the way of true knowing? What if it shrinks our ability to know more because there's no space available in our awareness for something new? What if our mental concepts keep us from seeing life in the way it is, magically, in an anything is possible way, like a child sees it? Again, Shunryu Suzuki said we should not hoard knowledge. We should be free from our knowledge. I don't know is powerful. It's a powerful statement that frees our mind of limited knowledge and allows it to be ready for anything and open to everything, to things we didn't know before, to new awareness, to new insight. When we think we know someone based on our past experience of them or because of something someone's told us about them, our mind holds concepts that get in our way of seeing the spiritual truth about them, of seeing them the way love sees them, without judgment, without concepts, with the openness of seeing innocence. If we're having problem getting along with someone, the quickest way to clear it up is to say within ourselves, I don't know that person. I don't know. I don't know anything about them. And when we do, that opens us to truly seeing them as they are. The poet Rumi wrote, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. We can begin each day as a know-it-all or with a beginner's mind, trusting we'll know what we need to know in the moment we need to know it. We don't need to plan out conversations. We don't need to plan out the way anything will happen as long as we know that we will know whatever we need to know in the moments of our life. We make the world we see appear to us as it does through the concepts we hold of ourself and others and life. But not one of those concepts is unchangeable. The words, I don't know, raise our vibration to a field of clarity, where all we need to know is right there to see. Thich Nhat Hanh said, when you get free from views and words, reality reveals itself to you. And that is nirvana. And that is the kingdom of heaven. Namaste. All right. Well, okay. I'm good. I know what's going on next. This is the time of our service when we get to thank everyone. Everyone here, because I know that throughout all this time, you have been supporting us with your love and financially, so that we can begin to grow and evolve and become more and more and expand more and more here at LEC. I want to thank all of you who are watching for being here today and for supporting us all this time. And if you haven't, it could be time. So I'll tell you a few ways to do that. You can donate on our Facebook page, the Life Enrichment Center, which you're on right now, but as we say, don't click it now because it takes you somewhere else. You can go to our website, lecflint.com, and click the contribute button. If you're a member of PayPal, that's an easy way. And also, you can mail your check to 2512 South Dye Road, Flint, 48532. And thank you.